My laws are just, my ways are right, they're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Custer. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live, and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we embark on this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. If you would like a copy of the scriptures included in today's program, you can find the download link by clicking on today's program in the station schedule at zion.org. That's spelled TSION.ORG. And now, let's begin today's reading.
What have you sown? But seeds of doubt, I hear your cries and shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink, washing in my word and rid you of the stink.
We begin today with chapter 4 of Come Out of Her, My People. This chapter is entitled, The Prophetic Message of Yahushua, the Messiah for Our Time. Have the scriptures left us destitute of this all-important revelation? Has our Messiah, our only great prophet, our only great teacher, our only great leader, has he left us without a warning? No, he has warned us in Matthew 24, and he has warned us again in his final message, the book of Revelation, especially in its last part, chapter 6 through 22, which we shall now study. Chapters 11 through 22 especially will receive our attention. As an introduction, we wish to refer to some Old Testament scriptures pertaining to the end time. These scriptures were given to us by inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Find those scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, for instruction in righteousness. And 17, that the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work. The prophecies of the scriptures are especially an encouragement and comfort to us. Quote, we also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as to a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Unquote. That's from 2 Peter 1:19. This is repeated in Romans 15:4. Quote, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Unquote. That which happened to Israel of old, especially in her wilderness experience, is a lesson and a warning to us, as we read in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages have come. Unquote. Was Peter not referring to this same wilderness experience, 1 Corinthians 10, of Israel in the time of Moses, when he tells us in Acts 7, 38-42, that Israel would not obey the living words, and then Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven? Let's read Acts 7, 38-42. This is he who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the messenger who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the living words to give to us, Acts 7:39, unto whom our fathers would not become obedient, but thrust away, and in their hearts they turned back to Mitzrayim. Acts 7:40, saying to Aaron, make us mighty ones to go before us, for this Moshe who led us out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him. Acts 7:41. And they made a calf in those days, and brought an offering to the idol, and were rejoicing in the works of their own hands. And Acts 7:42. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heaven, as it had been written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slaughtered beasts and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Are we, today's believers, not in the same wilderness experience? Surely we are. We have not entered the promised land yet. Among these prophetic messages for our time, which is indeed a comfort to us, is Daniel 12:4, which, according to the German, Dutch, and Africanus versions, reads as follows. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall do research, and knowledge shall increase. We are absolutely convinced that the latter rain has begun to fall. The Spirit of truth, which guides us into all truth. Our disobedience to the living words, the 10 words, the covenant, the same law of Yahweh, which is the contents of the new covenant, see Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16, has resulted in the following. Before we read that, we're going to read Hebrews 8:10. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them. For Yahweh has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. Those verses were from Isaiah 29:10 and 11. This is the result of our disobedience to the new, or rather renewed, covenant, the law of Yahweh. The new covenant is but a renewal of the eternal covenant. However, there is to come a turning back, a renewal, the promised final restoration in the end time, as we read in Isaiah 29:18, 19, and 24. Isaiah 29:18, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity, out of darkness. 29:19. The humble also shall increase their joy in Yahweh, and the poor among men rejoice in the set-apart one of Israel. Isaiah 29:24. And those who went astray in spirit shall come to understanding, and the grumblers accept instruction. Our Messiah also promised us that these truths will be revealed to us in Luke 8:17. He promised, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." He is the one who opens our eyes. Luke 24:31. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. He is the one who opens our understanding. Luke 24:45. Then he opened their mind to the scriptures. He has told us all about this in his end time prophecy in Matthew 24, and again in his final message of the end time in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 22, especially 11 through 22. It is clearly written. All we need is for him to open our eyes to what he has said, and for him to open our understanding. However, Yahushua has laid down his condition for the opening of our understanding. Quote, "Therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Luke 8:18. This is all important, fundamental truth contained in Luke 8:18, and it is repeated in four other texts in the four evangels. It is generally commented on as follows. He who receives light from the Word, particularly from the Messiah himself, and opens that light, unto him more light shall be revealed. But he who does not obey this light, from him shall be taken away that which he seems to have. This is a vital and all-important condition for receiving light on scriptural truths. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. That's John 3:27. Let's read the John 3:27 in the Scriptures version. Yohanan answered him and said, "No man is able to receive any matter unless it is given to him from the heaven." If we disobey him, Yahweh will do as he warns us through his Son when he quoted from Isaiah, as we read in John 12:40. "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart, lest they should turn, so that I should heal them." Unquote. I'm going to read John 12:40 through the scriptures as well. "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I shall heal them." Therefore, if we humbly obey the Word, particularly the Word that became flesh, Messiah Yahushua, he will then cause us to see and understand his prophecy about the end time in Matthew 24, as well as his final message to us in Revelation. In Matthew 24:12, he reveals to us that lawlessness will increase in the end time. Matthew 24:12. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. Then, in verse 15, he reveals to us that the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that lays waste, will be seen set up in the set apart place. Matthew 24:15. So when you see the abomination that lays waste, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, set up in the set apart place, he who reads, let him understand. In Matthew 24, he warns us four times, in verses 4, 5, 11, and 24, about deception, about being deceived. Let's read those four verses. Matthew 24, verse 4. Yeshua answering said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. And Matthew 24:24. For false messiahs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. So, we desperately need the Spirit of truth if we long for truth, lest we be deceived by the spirit of error. 1 John 4:6. We are of Elohim. The one knowing Elohim hears us. He who is not of Elohim does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the delusion. We do not receive the love for the truth. Thy word is the truth, according to John 17:17, which says, set them apart in your truth. Your word is truth. Elohim will send us a strong delusion that we should believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth, in order for them to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. For this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion, for them to believe the falsehood. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. In order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. The Spirit of truth guides us unto all truth, reproving the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. John 16:13-8. John 16:13. But when he comes, the Spirit of the truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall announce to you what is to come. And John 16:8, and having come, he shall reprove the world concerning sin, and concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. In contrast to this, there is now prevailing the spirit of error, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. These are awesome words, but we do believe that the time has come that we should return to fear Elohim. Revelation 14:7. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear Elohim and give esteem to him, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water." Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the being, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both being and body in Gehenna. Acts 9:31. Then indeed the assemblies throughout all Yehuda and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were built up, and walking in the fear of Yahweh and in the encouragement of the set-apart spirit, they were being increased. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having then these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting in set-apartness in the fear of Elohim. Ephesians 5:21. Subjecting yourselves to each other in the fear of Elohim. 1 Peter 2:17. Respect all, love the brotherhood, fear Elohim, respect the sovereign. Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear you, O Yahweh, and esteem your name? Because you alone are kind, because all nations shall come and worship before you, for your righteousnesses have been made manifest. And finally, Revelation 19:5. And a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our Elohim, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." Therefore, in Matthew 24, Yahushua warns us that before his second coming, we should take note of three things. 1, his warning against being deceived. 2, expect lawlessness to increase. And 3, and the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that lays waste, having been set up in the set-apart place. 1, deception. Satan is the one who deceives or leads astray the whole world. The way in which he has done it and the nature of the deceit will become apparent as we study points 2 and 3. Point 2, lawlessness. The incorrect translation of the Greek anomia, which is lawlessness, and anomos, which is lawless, in the older translations has been a major reason for the deceit that has crept in. The serious increase of lawlessness, even in the assemblies, is the fruit of this mistranslation. It has done immeasurable harm. The restoration of the true meaning of this word cannot be done soon enough. The newer translations, such as the New American Standard Bible, Young's Literal Translation of the Holy Bible, Holy Bible New King James Version, Farrar Fenton's The Complete Bible in Modern English, the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, Rotherham's The Emphasized Bible, Barry's Interlinear Greek English New Testament, Marshall's Interlinear Greek English New Testament, Green's Interlinear Hebrew Greek English Bible, and Benjamin Wilson's Emphatic Dialogue all have it truthfully and correct, with anomia and anomos correctly rendered as lawlessness and lawless. We are awakened from our deep sleep, our intoxicated state, having been taught that the law has been done away with. Indeed, our Messiah himself reveals to us the startling fact that those believers who are still practicing lawlessness will be turned away. We see that in Matthew 7:23. And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. In fact, those believers who are still practicing lawlessness will be cast into the furnace of fire, according to Matthew 13:41 and 42. Matthew 13:41. The Son of Adam shall send out his messengers, and they shall gather out of his reign all the stumbling blocks and those doing lawlessness. Matthew 13:42. And shall throw them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. These are the irrefutable and unassailable words of Messiah himself. With anomia and anomos correctly rendered, we also discover in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12 that this great passage on the great apostasy or the mystery of lawlessness comprises the very subject of lawlessness. That's a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to read them to you. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. As to the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah and our gathering together to him, we ask you, brothers, verse 2, not to become easily unsettled in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as if the day of Yahweh has come. Verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Verse 5, do you not remember that I told you this while I was still with you? Verse 6, and now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the secret of lawlessness is already at work. Only until he who restrains comes out of the midst. Verse 8, and then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. Verse 10, with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. Verse 11, for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood. And verse 12, in order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in unrighteousness. The words lawless or lawlessness appear 3 times, and some 4 times, in this verse, 3 through 9. Verse 3 tells us that the leader or instigator of this lawlessness, namely the man of lawlessness, will, quote, sit as Elohim in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. We have been ignorant of, and we have been blinded to, this startling truth because of incorrect translation in the past. Let us ask ourselves, is Yahushua the Messiah ruling in our individual bodies, his temples? Is Yahushua the Messiah, the one who is ruling in his assembly, his body? Our Messiah never did away with his Father's law. In fact, he commanded us to keep his Father's commandments. We see this in the following verses. Matthew 19:17. And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Elohim. But if you wish to enter into life, guard the commands. Luke 10:28. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live. John 12:50. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life, and to enter through the gates into the city. Luke 16:17. And it is easier for the heaven and the earth to pass away than for one tittle of the Torah to fall. Matthew 5:19. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the reign of the heavens, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. Yahushua is the mediator of the new covenant. We read this in Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent service, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. And Hebrews 9:15. And because of this, he is the mediator of a renewed covenant, so that death having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called might receive the promise of the everlasting inheritance. And Hebrews 12:24. And to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. He is not the new covenant itself. He is the mediator of it. What then is the new or renewed covenant? Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16 clearly tell us it is the law of Yahweh into our hearts and into our mind. Let's read Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16. Hebrews 8:10. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts. And I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them. Awesome, huh? Who writes the law into our heart and in our minds? It is the mediator of the new covenant who does it, Yahushua. He is the lawgiver, the law mediator. Therefore, he has been oppressed by and replaced by the man of lawlessness. Apart from the man of lawlessness, who will be sitting in the temple, we read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that lawlessness, the great apostasy, the mystery of lawlessness will take over prior to Messiah's second coming. This is precisely what Yahushua also said in Matthew 24:12. Matthew 24:12, and because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. Please note, in Matthew 24:12, that because of the increase of lawlessness, we find, as a result, the love of many will grow cold. The horizontal love, the keeping of the second tablet of the law, the love toward our fellow man, will grow cold because of increased lawlessness. Also, the vertical love, the keeping of the first tablet of the law, the love towards Yahweh, will grow cold because of increased lawlessness. In contrast to this lawlessness, which will increase in the world in the end time, we discover in Matthew 24:20 that the faithful few will be keeping the Sabbath. Matthew 24:20. And pray that your flight does not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. He reveals the contrast between lawlessness and Shabbat keeping in the end time. Remember, the Sabbath is the only scriptural sign of apartness. We find that in Exodus 31:13 and 17 and Ezekiel 20:12 and 20. Exodus 31:13. And you speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths you are to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, to know that I, Yahweh, am setting you apart. Exodus 31:17. Between me and the children of Israel, it is a sign forever. For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the 7th day he rested and was refreshed. Ezekiel 20:12. And I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart. Ezekiel 20:20. And set apart my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, to know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. It is a sign that he is setting us apart unto himself, and setting us apart from this world which is increasing in lawlessness. Furthermore, this Sabbath is the sign of the eternal covenant, the sign of the eternal covenant which has been given to the chosen people, Israel, forever. Exodus 31:16-17. Exodus 31:16. And the children of Israel shall guard Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, as an everlasting covenant. Exodus 31:17, between me and the children of Israel, it's a sign forever. And in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the 7th day he rested and was refreshed. This end-time increase in lawlessness in the world is indeed what Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Read verse 13 too. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and impostors shall go on to the worse, leading astray and being led astray. Even more alarming is the lawlessness which is permitted or even taught in some assemblies. Toleration of and even acceptance of homosexuality, ignorance of the Ten Commandments, preaching that the law has been done away with, that the law has been nailed to the cross, are all signs of the great apostasy, which is the caption for 2 Thessalonians 2, which many translators use. Indeed, the curse is devouring the earth, as we read of in Isaiah 24:6. In Isaiah 24:1 through 6, we read the great prophecy of the end times of apostasy and subsequent judgment upon the earth. It describes it vividly for us. Quote, "Behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters its inhabitants. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants." I'd like to read those verses again from the scriptures so that you have the complete picture of what they say. Isaiah 24:1. See, Yahweh is making the earth empty and making it waste, and shall overturn its surface, and shall scatter abroad its inhabitants. Isaiah 24:2. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the female servant, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. Isaiah 24:3. The earth is completely emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. Isaiah 24:4. The earth shall mourn and wither, the world shall languish and wither, the haughty people of the earth shall languish. Isaiah 24:5. And the earth has been defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the Torah, changed the law, and broken the everlasting covenant. And Isaiah 24:6. Therefore a curse shall consume the earth, and those who dwell in it be punished. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth shall be burned, and few men shall be left. Why is this happening to us? The reason is given in verse 5. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And the result? Verse 6 brings us the shocking answer. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Indeed, we are guilty. We have transgressed the laws of Yahweh. We have changed the ordinance. Luther's German translation reads, changed the commandments. We have broken the everlasting, eternal covenant, the same covenant which is even now called the renewed or new covenant, the law of Yahweh, into our hearts and in our minds. Shall we not repent of our sins, the transgression of the law, lest we be burned with all the lawless ones in the day of judgment? Shall we not repent of our lawlessness, ask Yahushua for forgiveness, and be part of the small remnant people, the few men left? Our Savior has said in Matthew 7:14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who enter by it." That's the New American Standard Bible version. The Scriptures version of that verse reads, "Because the gate is narrow and the way is hard pressed, which leads to life, and there are few who find it." These few are described in Revelation 17:14 as the called, chosen, and faithful. Let's read that verse. Revelation 17:14. "They shall fight with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is master of masters and sovereign of sovereigns, and those with him are called and chosen and trustworthy." They are also described in Revelation 14:12 and in Revelation 12:17 as those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahushua, the two requirements which we are to meet if we are serious to enter into eternal life. Again, those verses, Revelation 14:12. "Here is the endurance of the set apart one. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yahushua." Revelation 12:17. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed, those guarding the commands of Elohim and possessing the witness of Yeshua Messiah." As it says, the two requirements which we are to meet if we are serious to enter into eternal life. That's the end of our reading for today. We will continue in our next reading with point number 3, the abomination of desolation. We hope to see you then.
And shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink. Washing in my word can rid you of the stink. You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Come on and lose it all. Unless you give it up, it only proves that you never heard the call to come away. Come away.
That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program,
go to tsion.org. And be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program.
You've heard that the book of Revelation foretells apocalyptic events at the end of the world. You've heard about the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. You may have even heard Eliyahu ben David's programs on Revelation or read his book entitled Announcing Judgment Day. But do you know what the book of Daniel foretells about the last days? Are you aware of the current events that are reshaping the world closer and closer to the one world government described in biblical prophecy? Eliyahu's Daniel seminar includes new revelation from Daniel that has been sealed for nearly 2.5 millennia. Join us as a free member on our community site, Zion Tabernacle, for access to our free 8-part video seminar entitled Beast of Daniel Surfacing. To see what other free resources you'll get as a Zion Tabernacle member, go to zion.org and click Join Us in the menu bar. That's tsion.org. Then click Join Us.
Station.